Well, we are on the last week of the Do You Even Church series. So next week we get to move back into the other room. We get all our technology back, which is exciting. And what we've seen over the last few weeks as we've looked at this is that as the church, the things that we need to do are make sure that we are all about what God is about. And we've seen how God is all about making his son, Jesus Christ, known and pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified for us so that we could be forgiven for the things we've done and that we could have life in him. We saw that we need to build the church well with the things of God on the foundation of Jesus, using the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of this world. And now in this week, we get to spend the last week looking at, well, what then is our role in all of this? How do we play our part in this church? And as we've talked about as well, we've talked about how the Corinthian church, who Paul is writing this letter to, are a church with many different problems. They're a church which is divided, and they're divided over all sorts of things. Last week, we heard about how they're divided over the different leaders who they like to follow. Some people love one leader, some people love another leader, but they're divided over lots of stuff. They're divided over the sort of food that you are allowed to eat. They're divided between rich and poor, and they're neglecting the poor people in their congregation. They're divided over sex. Some people are like, yeah, we should sleep with anyone we want to, even your stepmother, no worries. Other people are like, no, you shouldn't sleep with anyone at all, not even the person that you're married to. That'll be better for your spiritual life. They're divided over all sorts of things, and what we're looking at tonight is the division they've got over spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts are those gifts with the Holy Spirit give to those people who are followers of Jesus to enable them to do things which they couldn't normally do to build up the church. And in the Corinthian church, they were particularly excited about some of their gifts. There were some gifts which they loved more than others. There were some gifts which they thought were more impressive than other gifts. And those people had the more impressive gifts, the gifts like speaking in tongues, being able to speak a different language, a heavenly language, or the gifts like knowing prophecy and being able to speak the words of God's people. They were like, those are the great gifts. And the other gifts, they're like, oh, we don't love that so much. And so they would exalt the people who had the good gifts and ignore the people who had the other gifts. And this is the kind of thing that we continue to do in our world today. We still love people who have crazy gifts. I went to work one day. Well, I go to work many days. But there was one day when I was working as an usher, which I've told you before, at a place, the entertainment center in Sydney. And we had visiting one night, we had this preacher and healer who is on TV. And he was a guy who he had, lots of money, and he had a huge entourage, and he had a huge choir. He had lots of people who would travel with him, and people would come to see him. They would line up for hours to come and see him do his stuff. And he had this gift of healing, where he would pray for people, and they would get healed, or that seemed to be what was going on. And people were waiting for him for hours, and then the show started, and he started singing, and as they sang, the choir sang and sang and sang. They went for hours and hours until eventually there was a song, How Great Thou Art, came on. And as people started singing How Great Thou Art, the curtain opened, and he stepped out from the middle, and he was like, hey, how great thou art, and waved at everyone. It was like, wow, look, there he is, the great guy off TV who can heal lots of people. People were really excited to see this guy. And then he did this sermon where he said some crazy stuff which wasn't really in the Bible. And then he asked people for money, and then he asked people for money, and then he asked people for money. And then he asked people for money. And when he finished asking people for money, then he found out if there was anyone with any problems in the audience, anyone who needed healing. And then people would come up the front to get prayed for. And they had his security guards at the edge of the stage. And if there were people there who had problems, which were internal problems, which you couldn't really see physical symptoms of, he'd be like, come up on stage and I'll pray for you. And those people who didn't really have physical symptoms, they'd be like, not tonight, and send them back. And so then they bring people up, and then he'd be like, what's wrong with you? It's like, oh, I've got cancer. And they're like, I'll pray for you. And then he'd push them over, and he'd pray for lots of people. And then eventually he's like, I'm going to pray for everyone in the congregation tonight. And so he's like, I'm going to pray for everyone, that everyone gets the Holy Spirit. I'm going to blow on everyone. As I blow, then you can all be slain in the Holy Spirit. And so he was telling people they had to just fall over when he blew into the microphone. And so then he stood up and he got ready and he went, whew, and he blew into the microphone. And all these people went, oh, and fell over. And it happened. That's what people did. And then down the front with all the young people were together like a mosh pit, they all fell over. And then someone got fallen on top of, and then they broke their ankle, which was a little bit ironic that they broke their ankle at a healing ministry thing. But then he went home and he had more money, and some people went home and they'd had an experience. And there were some people there who I think genuinely got healed. There was one woman who got healed in the bathroom before the show. And then she spent her time running around the venue going, I'm healed, I'm healed. It had nothing to do with him. But what's really interesting is that we find people with these gifts. And we're like, these people are special. These people are amazing. These people need to be on television. These people need more money. And this guy, he was willing to take people's money. And he was willing to exalt himself. And he was willing to exploit people in their need so that he could be made great. Because he had this gift, which I'm sure there were times that he managed to heal people because it wouldn't happen otherwise. People wouldn't be interested in him. But what he was doing was he was exploiting people. And people were exalting him because of this gift that he had. And this is what's going on in the Corinthian church. They look at people with particular gifts and like, these people should be put on a pedestal. These people are important. We should all be like them. And anyone who doesn't have those gifts, they're not that important. But what Paul is writing to them to say is like, it's not about exalting people because of their gifts. It's not about saying someone, this person is great because of the things that they can do. He's saying, we are all together in this. We're all together in this because of Jesus. If you look at the passage in the first part, he says to them, from verse 12, he says, just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For you are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And what he's saying to them is, no matter how divided you look, no matter how divided you are behaving, you are unified because your unity comes from somewhere else other than your relationships with each other. Your unity isn't about how you treat each other or how you care for each other. Your unity is greater than that. Your unity is because each of you has the Holy Spirit. You have one Spirit who lives in you and brings you together, making you one body, making you the body of Christ. And often we talk about the church as saying the church is the body of Christ. This is how God, Jesus works in the world. And it's kind of like we have this image of Jesus up in heaven as some kind of disembodied head floating around going, I need some hands, I need some feet. And then, you know, the spirit, the church comes together and the church is the hands and the feet of God. And it's not like Jesus doesn't have a body. The Bible tells us that Jesus rose from the dead and he's still in heaven with the same physical body that he had when he rose from the dead. Jesus is up there with his body. But what Paul is saying here is that Jesus has chosen to work on earth primarily through his church, through us. And so the way that Jesus physically interacts with the world mostly is through his people, through us. And so that is how we are his body here on earth. We are the body of Christ. This is how we physically interact with the world. And so if we are the body, then we shouldn't be divided in our purpose. We should have one purpose, and that is the purposes of God. If we work at cross purposes from each other, we will be like a body trying to do two different things at the same time, and that doesn't work very well. There aren't that many times when a body tries to work at cross purposes from itself. Normally, with your body, you're like, I want to walk over there. And so you're like, all right. And so then you stand up, and then you walk over there, and every part of your body works to get you from here to over there. But there are some times where it doesn't work like that. For instance, when people sleepwalk. And I know that most of you probably don't sleepwalk, but maybe some of you do. And when you're sleepwalking, what happens is, as far as I know, you're gone, I'm going to go to sleep. And so you go to sleep and your body's like, yeah, I'm going to sleep. And so then you sleep. And then part of your body's like, no, I'm going for a walk. And then normally your body would be like, yeah, good idea. Let's wake up and go for a walk. But this time it doesn't happen. Your body's like, no, I'm going to sleep. And your body's like, no, me, I'm going to walk. And so then your body's like, no, well, I'm going to keep sleeping. And so then your body gets up and goes for a walk. You're like, I'm definitely sleeping right now. And then you go and do some crazy things. One of my favorite stories when I was in primary school was about my friend who woke up in the middle of the night and went for a walk and tried to get out the front door. And his mom was like, what are you doing? And he's like, I'm trying to do my homework. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. It's so funny. I know for me, I don't sleepwalk much at all. I don't sleepwalk, really. I sleep talk sometimes. But there is one time when I feel like I kind of did it. It was when I was about 16 or 17, and I'd been watching Braveheart on VHS on my TV at home, and I fell asleep on the couch. And then I woke up at like 2 a.m., and I was like, I don't want to be here. I do need to pee. And then part of it was like, but I need to sleep. And the other part was like, but I need to pee. And I was like, but I need to sleep. And so I was like, oh, well, let's see if we can do both at once. And so I got up, and I went for a walk, and I went into the bathroom, and I lifted the lid, and I started to pee, and that's when I woke up. I'm like, oh, no, the wrong lid. I lifted up the lid on the laundry basket. And so then I was like, quick. And so then I went over and finished off in the toilet, and then I was like, what do I do with this? I'm like, it's dirty anyway. And so I just kind of moved the clothes around. And then I went to sleep. And and the point is, that when a body is working at cross purposes from itself, things go horribly wrong. And when the church does this, things go horribly wrong. If we are working at cross purposes from ourselves, then it's not going to work. And it's not like we're all going to end up peeing in laundry baskets, hopefully. Otherwise, Mitcham Baptist Church would be famous for all the wrong reasons. But what we do as a church is that we can be like, well, you know, we're a body, but I'm all about me. I'm all about what I want to do. In the Corinthian church, they're all about themselves, all about being exalted because of their gifts and saying, I'm the great one, I'm the one who needs to be heard, I'm the one who needs to be impressive. And as I talked about last week, I said, you know, I don't think we have a huge problem with, you know, people, you know, wanting to, you know, follow particular leaders or be dividing over these kind of things. But sometimes, you know, one of the issues that we could be divided over is ministries, because there are lots of great ministries in this church that we love. And we could be all about our ministries, but we need to remember that our ministries all need to be about the one purpose that our body has, and that's the purpose of God. The purpose to make Jesus known, to help people know about what Jesus has done for us at the cross. That everything we do needs to be about Jesus. We don't work against each other, we work with each other. Our ministries do not exist for the sake of the ministry. Our ministry and our programs and everything we do exists for the one purpose of making Jesus known. When we find ourselves butting up against each other because one person wants one thing and someone else wants another thing, then we sit down with each other and we say, well, what are we here for? What's our purpose? And then we decide to work together for the one purpose that God has given us. Because when we work against each other, then we are working at cross purposes. It's all going to go bad. We are one church. We have one Lord, but we have many roles to play. So we do those roles with one purpose. The next bit that Paul moves on to talk about, as he talks about how if you are in the body, then you're going to have different roles to play, and there is no role that is better than another. And so if there's a particular role that you want or that you don't have, then that just because you don't have a spiritual gift doesn't mean that you shouldn't be serving or that people can exclude you from serving. Have a look from verse 15. He says this, "Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." What he's saying there is, if you're like, because I don't have this gift, I can't serve, it doesn't mean that you can't serve. Even if you don't have the impressive gifts or the gifts that you want, it doesn't mean there isn't a space for you to serve at church. There is a place for you here. And we all probably, maybe not all of us, but many of us have probably got our eyes on particular spiritual gifts that we want God to give us so that we can work in impressive ways. Who ever watched the show Captain Planet? Yeah, so Captain Planet, it was an older show from like 1990 to 1996, and it was all about the Earth was getting polluted, and then the great spirit of the Earth, Gaia, who, just in case you're wondering, we don't believe in, but she was an excellent character in the show, she was like, She was like, the earth is breaking down and we need to help the earth. And so she gave special powers to 5 different teenagers around the earth. She gave one teenager the power of wind, and one teenager the power of earth, and one teenager the power of fire, and one teenager the power of water, and one teenager the power of heart. And when they put their powers together, then out came Captain Planet. He was like, by your powers combined, I am Captain Planet. And then he went around and beat up bad guys. And these were some great gifts that were given to the teenagers. Like, it was really exciting for the person who had Earth, because they could, like, you know, make rocks come out of the ground to beat up bad polluters, or squash, you know, make mountains fall. I can't remember the show very well. Or the person with wind could make tornadoes come out and blow away the polluters' trucks. Or the person with fire could go and, you know, blow up the polluters' house. Or the person with water could go and flood, you know, flood all the stuff away. And then, you know, they had like 4 great gifts. And then there was the poor kid who had heart. And heart was lame, because I don't know what heart did. Heart was like, I have heart. And that's it. They'd be like, earth, wind, fire, water, heart. And I always felt so sorry for him, because I didn't know what his gift did and what use it was to anyone, except they were like, oh, we need something other than physical elements. So they put in heart. And I felt bad for him. And the problem is that in the church, you know, often we look at some gifts, we're like, that's like earth, and that's like wind, that's like fire. And the others are like, that's like heart. I do not want that one. That looks like a useless gift. I don't want that gift at all. And so we always, you know, try and hope that we get the good gifts. And if we don't have the good, interesting gifts that other we want to have, then we think maybe I shouldn't be serving. Or maybe I should try and make sure I get those good gifts. You know, there are lots of times when people will look at the people at the front and say, I want those gifts. Or they'll look at the people who can do amazing things and like pray for healing and people get healed. Like, I would love that. I'd love to be able to pray for someone and, you know, pray for their leg to grow back and their leg will grow back. I'm like, I'm awesome. Or do I have like gifts of, you know, knowledge to be able to walk up to someone and say, I know your secret sin. Stop it. And they'd be like, whoa. And in fact, actually, you don't need that gift to be able to do that. If you just walk up to someone and say, I know your secret sin, stop it. Then there's a good chance they've got a secret sin. Or they'll be like, oh, what is it? And then they'll go away and they'll feel terrible. And then you can just feel great about yourself. But don't do that. That's bad. But we look at some gifts, the more spectacular ones or more upfront ones, the ones that get more glory. And we're like, we want those gifts. You know, there are spiritual gift surveys where you can tick boxes and answer questions. And if you answer all the right questions, then you can be like, oh, I've got this gift. And I remember filling out those surveys, knowing which gifts I wanted. And so I'd try and answer the questions so that I could get the gift I wanted. So I'd be like, are you very good at Excel? And I'd be like, oh, gift of administration. No, don't want that one. Not good at Excel. And I'm like, are you good at baking? And I'd be like, oh, gift of hospitality. Nope, not good at baking. And I'd be like, are you extremely good looking so that people praise Jesus? And I'm like, yes, I am. And I'd be like, you've got the spiritual gift of being good looking. And I'd be like, yeah, that's not actually a spiritual gift. I made that up. But I always was like, you know, most gifts are okay, but the ones I really do not want are the gifts of chastity or martyrdom, because they seem like the worst. And when I was a young teenage guy, I was like, in fact, chastity would be worse than martyrdom. I hope I get martyrdom before I get chastity. That would be terrible. Because there are some gifts you're like, I just don't want those gifts. They are the worst kind of gifts. But the Bible tells us that God has given us all these different gifts because we need all the different gifts. Just as the body has many different parts, we need all the different parts to work together. And so instead of desiring the gifts which are more impressive, desire the gifts that the church needs. You know, there's sometimes we're like, I'm not going to serve unless I can do the things that I want to do. You know, sometimes people come to churches and say, I'm not going to join that church unless I can do the thing that I think I've been gifted to do. I had someone come to church once when I was a youth pastor at another church, and the guy came on the first night and he was like, I love your church. I'm like, thanks, man. He's like, I'm going to come to your church. This is going to be my home church. I'm like, great, good to have you. He's like, and I want to be a youth leader. Can I be a youth leader? I'm like, well, maybe give us a 6 months or so to get to know you and make sure you're not crazy, and then maybe I'll let you be a youth leader. And he was like, oh, okay. And then he never came back again. And I was like, well, there's a good reason why I didn't make you a youth leader, because you were never going to turn up again if I didn't make you a youth leader. You come to church not so that you can fulfill your desires and do the gifts that you want to do. You come to church to find ways that you can serve, to do the roles that God has given you to do. And if you want to figure out what to be doing, if you want to figure out what your gifts are, then start serving. Do what you can around the place and you'll discover what your gifts are. Don't go for the gifts where you're like, I'm passionate about this. This is the stuff I really want to do and I'll only serve the stuff in the stuff that I'm passionate about. Because everyone will just do the gifts that are impressive gifts. I've had a lot of people say to me that they've got a vision from God that they're going to be leading worship for thousands of people or preaching to thousands of people. And no one has ever come up to me and said, I got a vision from God that I'm going to be stuffing envelopes for thousands of people. Because we're passionate about the things which seem impressive to us. Better that we serve in the places where we are needed. And then as we do that, then we will discover what we're good at. Then we'll discover what God has gifted us in. It may be like you've got no idea what you're doing, and so you're like, maybe I'll just help out with welcoming because when they need welcomers, and so then you're there and you're helping, and then as you're there, you're like meeting people, and then you find that as when young kids come to church, you particularly connect with them and you make friends with them. You're like, oh, maybe I'm connecting with young kids. Well, maybe I'll see whether I can help out in children's ministry. If they need you in children's ministry, you'd like join there, and then you find that you're good at connecting with the kids there and teaching them about Jesus in ways they understand. And then you're like, wow, maybe my spiritual gift is actually in children's ministry. And you discover it because you were helping where you were needed, and that showed you that there was a place where you're actually gifted. Serve where you can rather than where you want to serve, and then you will find that you will find your space to serve. Don't wait for someone to come and approach you and ask you to do the thing that you're most passionate about. Just get in there and do stuff, and you will find your gift. All right. The last thing I want to say about this bit is that, you know, some people will be like, yeah, but that doesn't sound like any fun. You know, I just want to serve in a way that fulfills me. And serving is good, but it's not here for you. You don't serve in church so that you have a good time or so that you feel fulfilled, so that you can meet your dreams. You serve in the church because we have a purpose, and that's to help people know Jesus, to help this world know Jesus. This is why you serve. And so serve to see that done. And as you do it, when you find your role, when you find your gift, I promise you, it'll be more fun than doing what you thought you were passionate about, because you have a purpose that's bigger than your happiness. Your purpose is the purpose of Jesus. And there is a greater satisfaction in that than in just doing what you decided that you were going to be good at. Now, if we continue on in the passage, we see that Paul also tells us that we can't look at other people and say, hey, your gift isn't like mine, or your gift isn't impressive enough, we don't need you. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable we treat with special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. And what he's saying there is saying that everyone in the church is valuable. Every role is valuable and important, not just the ones which we look at and think they are impressive. We need to value everyone. We need to say that everyone is important. Because the parts of the body, even the parts that we don't understand, are generally valuable. There are some parts of the body which we don't spend a lot of time thinking about, but they're actually useful. Like eyebrows, for instance. How much of your life do you spend thinking about eyebrows? Probably not much. But then when you do think about eyebrows, you're like, oh, they're a bit weird. They're like hairy caterpillars above my eyes. And then you think, but they're even weirder if you get rid of them. Have you seen people with, like, our eyebrows? It looks freaky. And so you're like, they look freaky on, they look freakier off, we'll keep them on. And that's why we have our eyebrows. But actually, eyebrows are there to protect our eyes from, like, sun and from dust and from water. Or if you're an old man, from hailstones and falling branches. Eyebrows are very useful, even though we don't, you know, exactly know why they're there. Or like earwax. Earwax just seems disgusting, but it turns out earwax is like an antibacterial thing which cleans out your ears and is great for making very small sculptures. It's earwax. You can try that if you want, but it's probably not a good idea. But all these, there are bits of our body which we don't think about a lot, but they're very, very useful and important. And they're in the church, there are lots of people who have important roles that we don't spend a lot of time talking about or thinking about. And just if you're doing a role where you're like, people don't think about me much, I don't think I'm that important. No, you are important. You are needed. God arranged all the parts of the body perfectly because that's how he wanted the body to be. And if any part of the body stops working because it feels like it's not appreciated, then the body is lesser for that. The church is lesser if you don't play your part. And so we need to be people who value everyone in the church and show everyone that you value them. Spend some time thanking the people who wouldn't normally get thanked. Like, it's really easy to thank the upfront people. Like, you know, those of us who are up front, it's people going like, oh, well done. And it's like, we appreciate it and we thank you for that. But there are many people who serve all the time who don't get thanked much. So look for the people who are serving behind the scenes and thank them. Find the person who spent a few hours washing up at the end of a church event so the church event could run properly and thank them. Find the people who serve day in and day out, you know, just doing maintenance around this place and thank them. Because everyone is useful and everyone is important. And tell people what you like about what they're doing, because then that will help them know what their spiritual gifts are. If instead of saying to someone just, hey, thanks for listening to me then, say to them, look, when I chatted to you about, you know, how I was feeling and my issues and you listened and you prayed for me, that meant a lot for me. And the things you said were wise and you helped me do better. And I really think, you know, you've got a gift here and listening to people. I really appreciate that. Thank you. Let them know what they've done and why they've done well, because that'll let them know that they are useful and important in the body and they've got a role to play. They will find their part because of that. The last thing that Paul tells us is that he gives us this kind of list of parts. He says, now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. And as God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Paul is saying this. He's saying there are so many different roles to play in this church, but you are one church. You are one. You have one Lord. You have many parts, but there is one purpose. So whatever part there is, whatever part you are playing, play it and play it well. And encourage other people to play their part and play it well. We're going to go back in there next week, and we're going to do church pretty similarly to how we did it before. There's going to be no big changes. But what needs to change for each of us is that we need to look at our hearts and say, what needs to change about our attitudes? How do we make sure that we are going to church thinking we are all about Jesus Christ and Him crucified? We are all about building on the foundation of Jesus. We are all about using the wisdom of God to make this church work, not the wisdom of the world, because the only thing that lasts is God's wisdom. And we will go to church wanting to serve, to find our place, to play our part, even if it's not that impressive, because God has put us here for a reason. We go back in there with a change of attitude. Say, we're all about Jesus. We're all about serving Jesus. Let's go back looking for the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the healers, all the different roles, and encourage them and love them and celebrate each different part, because we are one body with one Lord, different parts, but one purpose. So what does this mean for us? Well, if you are not a Christian, then you might be sitting here, well, what the heck is the point of all this? Like, why would we even bother to join this church? Like, church is, you know, not just a social club. The reason why we do all this is really just a response to Jesus. Jesus is someone who gave his body for us. That he came down and he lived here on earth and his body was broken so that we could be unified. That he shed his blood so that we could be given life. That he died for us so that we can be forgiven for the things we have done. Jesus invites us to join this body because here in the church, we are a group of people who remember that we are saved only because of what Jesus has done. We are welcomed into something that lasts. The only thing that lasts, if this stuff is true, is what Jesus has done on earth and what he's doing in his people. So we join him. So figure it out. If it's true, then join it. If it's not true, then figure something else out. But I believe this is true and this is worth doing. And for those of us who are Christians, then what this means for you is you've got a role to play. If you are not playing your part, then you are depriving the church of something great. So play your part and play it well. Play it not because it makes Jesus love you, but because you know Jesus has loved you so much that he gave his life for you. And all you can do in response is give your life back to him. Live the life that he calls you to, and you will find that he builds you up in that, that you find satisfaction in that, that you are part of something bigger than yourself and your desires and your hopes and your dreams. You are part of God's great church. We are one church with one Lord, with many different parts, but one purpose. Let's do that together. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get into communion. How about I pray? Lord God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you that he gave his body so that we could be set free from sin and death. Thank you that he invited us into something greater than ourselves, to be serving each other and to be serving this world and to be glorifying you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we'll be people who play our part well, who love others and value others and do whatever we can to live out your purpose in this church so you'll be glorified in this community and many people will come to know you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.